Hello, I'm Adam Henson. Welcome to the second series of Keeping on Track, a podcast series made by the farming community for the farming community. Sometimes you meet or hear about someone in farming who is truly inspirational. Today, we're talking to one of them. He's been a farmer all his life and recently built and set up a unique farm in Bedfordshire. But there's more to it than that, as we're going to find out.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. Yes, today we're talking to a farmer with a truly inspirational story. It's the story of Mike Duxbury, who farms in Bedfordshire.
I've been very single-minded all my life about being a farmer. And when I became a farmer, it was the proudest moment of my life, as Ness will tell you. I very rarely get emotional, but I did then, because it was all I ever wanted to be. And I'd never change it for the world. And it's never been too hard. There's been challenges, there's been barriers, and there's been times when, you know, I think others think I should have given up, but I've never given up.
And Mike's had fun along the way.
We very much believe in, you know, this is one life we've got. We've both had been through marriages that haven't worked, and we both really enjoyed our time together. So we come up with crazy ideas, and that is, let's buy a two-seater convertible sports car. So we did. And we used to get up early in the morning and we'd go off to the coast with our flask of tea in our sports car in the middle of summer and just have a whale of a time. And it was about just getting away from the everyday thing. We had our little Porsche Boxster, our little Georgie, which was the name of the car. So we've done the sports car thing. We've done the narrowboat thing. We owned a narrowboat, or nested. We had a big motorhome, and we used to go off places. We've done camping, and we've done...
The narrowboat thing was quite funny, bringing it back.
So the throttle broke on this narrowboat. So we had to do 4.5 miles back to the base, and we thought, how are we going to get there? So I said, well, I'll tell you what. So I scrabbled down in the engine room, found out where the broken throttle was, tied a dog lead to it, fed it round my waist, sat on the back, and started, pulled the dog lead. As I pulled the dog lead, the boat would go faster. And at one point, we're almost surfing down the canal in this nearly 57-foot narrow boat.
But sadly for Mike and his partner Ness, Georgie had to go.
We had Georgie for a while, but unfortunately, with setting up this project, we had to get rid of a lot of the things that, you know, had value to make sure this project was supported, because we didn't get any government grants or anything. So this was done purely through all our own money.
So what is the project?
This was a bare field 2 and a bit years ago. So on my right, we have the farmyard, which consists of a 3-bay barn, and opposite that some pig pens. We've got 2 pigs in below me here on the left, and beyond that another 8 pigs. And these are ones that are coming on for finishing. The barn down here has got the hay, the feed, and the little tractor. This is a picket fence all the way along. This is where the goats are. So we have 2 pygmy goats in here, Spider-Man and Zorro. And we boys. This farm is long and narrow, and it's on a hill. So we're walking up the hill at the moment. Everything predominantly is on the right-hand side. Each pen front is different, so that myself, when it is windy, can reach out, touch the front of the pen, and know exactly where I am on the farm. So if you look at this one compared to this one here, it's very different texture in the feel.
Because Mike Duxbury is blind, he lost his sight at the age of 6, and this is the inclusive farm he conceived and built to help other people with disabilities learn about agriculture.
You're little Zorro, yes, I know you are. Because I'm completely, totally blind, Obviously, I rely on my other senses to get about, especially my hearing. So if I can hear where the geese are, the goats are, I know where I am. But obviously, if it's windy and it's blowing the sound away, then of course that distracts me from being able to locate where I am. I've been a farmer now nigh on 40 years. I've been involved in farming. Firstly as an animal nutritionist, and then obviously as a farmer. I pride myself in doing things my way, which of course is slightly different to other people, because not being able to see, I can't use big machines and all those sort of thing. But I can use my hands and I use my brain. So my partner Ness and I, we set everything out that it means when I walk through the gate in the morning, I'm no longer blind, if that can make any sense. All these fences you can see, I put up myself. All these gates I've hung myself. All the shelters I've built. You know, no matter what life throws at us, whether I lost my sight, okay, some people say that's tragic. Well, it happened. I had to get on with it. Now, there's nothing else I wanted to do apart from farm. So why couldn't I? Yes, I have to do things slightly differently. But this is an example in front of you, what can be done if one loves and wants something enough.
And Mike did, because his dad was a farmer and his grandfather before him.
My father took over from my grandfather, and we were mixed farm. And of course, my passion for farming was, it never changed. That was the beauty. From the day I lost my sight, really, and I knew then there was going to be challenges. And I think my parents thought, oh my God, you know, the one thing he loves is the farm and the animals, and you know, but it drove me to be and succeed in what I wanted to do, and that was be farming. And so that's what I did. And with my dad's help and other people's help along the way, teaching me, you know, how to do things on farms, whether it be, you know, chainsawing logs, splitting logs, whether it be handling cattle, milking cows, whatever, you know, all these things I learned from a very young age, because I had the hunger to want to know everything and to do everything and find my way of achieving that thing. So that when I went to agricultural college back in the 80s, whilst obviously all the colleges didn't want to take on a blind guy, Morton Morrill at Warwickshire did, and absolutely thrived, because they just let me be me. And they didn't say, you know, you have to do it this way. They said, if you can achieve the end result, it don't care how you get there. And to have that freedom back then as a totally blind guy was just amazing. And that set me up for life.
And Mike Duxbury's parents were very supportive.
My dad and stepmom, just, they were so great, and they were so proud, of course, and they're no longer with us now. And, you know, to this day, miss them much. But I've turned into the thing that I always said I would turn into, and that's being a farmer myself. The beauty about it was, he said, never do anything and make yourself unsafe. He said, if you've got the confidence to do it, then do it. I learnt about machinery. I learnt about livestock. I learnt about being confident enough to give animals injections when they needed it. But for me, I was also realistic. You know, back in the day, I knew I was never going to be successful chasing cows or sheep round a field or trying to drive a tractor and plough fields. But back in the day, most pigs were kept intensively in buildings and whatever, and that's where I found my niche. So I've dedicated really 40 years of my life to pigs.
But it hasn't all been easy, as you can imagine. There have been plenty of challenges that Mike and Ness have had to overcome.
Losing my parents and having to sell the family farm, which was my home, my job, my everything really, and losing my dad, who was my best friend and my mentor, then having to make it in the world on my own, up against the challenges what other people might think of having a blind pig man on the farm. All those things were challenges, and yet I've come through them, I've succeeded at them, and now I have my own business with my partner. We both created this amazing project because we wanted the world to see what disabled people can do, not what they can't or shouldn't do. And with Ness's backing, you know, we have found a not just a partnership in our lives together, but our partnership of working together and creating this amazing project that has gone from strength to strength, and now is, we could do 20 farms and fill them with students. The demand is so great because we've dealt with it from a disabled person's point of view. We haven't created a farm that's, you know, I'm an able-bodied sighted person going, I know what disabled people want, and therefore come along and we'll teach you. I've done it from my perspective, so the farm is fully accessible to wheelchairs, to people who are blind, people who've got learning difficulties, etc. And they all come and they all have an amazing experience. However, about 5 years ago, I was looking for a new job before we even took on this project. And I did over 500 job applications and nobody wanted to know me. As soon as they knew I was blind, it was door closed. And did it affect my mental health? I don't know. It certainly affected my self-worth. It certainly affected my perspective on society, that how could somebody like myself, who's been to college, got their degree, worked for some big companies, done X, Y, Z, all of a sudden can't even get a part-time job or any job because their eyesight situation, and yet we're supposed to have moved on in society. Let me throw a statistic at you. In 2023, 90% of blind people in the UK were unemployed. Okay? And the other 10% predominantly worked for people who represented their disability. There is very few, if you were to sit and think about disabled people high up in companies or ever in points of leadership, you'd struggle to find many people that held senior positions. So society, unfortunately, has left disabled people behind, irrespective to whether some companies say differently. In reality, that is the case. But we have to keep going, and we have to keep battling it and fighting it, that one day we hope that it will be a better world.
So, after 500 failed job applications, how did Mike and Ness go about setting up the Inclusive Farm? Well, it involved Lego.
I'd already said to Ness, I've got this idea, I've written it down, I've got a few paragraphs, can you help me with it? And so we sat down and we started working through it, and of course we put a few more blocks into it. So what do you want it to look like? What is it you're trying to achieve? And I said, well, I want to make a better world for people like myself, to show the sighted world and the able-bodied world that we're not stupid and we're not useless and that we have something to offer. Right. What is it you want the farm to look like? And I said, well, I want it to be like this. And she said, whoa, I'm going to clean that. So she toddled off the following day, came back, she said, right, here, there's a bag of Lego bricks. Build me the bloody farm. So I did. I said, this is how I would like it. This is how I see it in my head. These are the measurements. These is what I have, my barn here, my pigs there, chickens there, you know. She said, okay, how are we going to achieve that? And I said, well, we've got to find some land. So we started sending letters out and looking to buy a piece of land. And anyway, eventually we got a phone call from a lady at Savills and said, you sent a letter to the Duke of Bedfordshire. He's seen that your letter and your project outline, really likes it. Can we help you with a piece of land? And I said, absolutely, yes, please. Well, we got this little small piece. It's a bit overgrown. It's not been farmed in 25 years. It's yours if you want it. So we came over and we looked at each other and goes, oh my God, it's like a jungle. And I said, but we can do it. And I went back to my model. I said, look, that will fit on that piece of land. That shape will fit. And that's what you have today. So I did all the building, nested all the fetching and carrying. I became really good friends with a petrol auger for putting posts in and drills. I went through 3 sets of drills and millions and millions of screws and wire and saw thumbs. And you've been round today and you've seen what we've achieved from nothing on a small piece of land. And for the last 2 years, we've had on average about 22 students a week come through the farm, along with other groups who come and visit, businesses who come and visit, and now people get it and understand what disabled people can do. And it's because of this team, myself and Ness, together, have created that hope for people.
So now, every week, students from Milton Keynes College come to visit and learn. And there's been interest from further afield in the inclusive farm.
When we found out it's the world's first farm to be built by a blind person, of course, everybody got hold of it. And now we even get calls from them in the USA. Can we have an inclusive farm? South Africa, Australia, New Zealand and Canada. And they all want what we're doing. But I said, hang on, there's only so much of me. We can't split ourselves in 20 pieces. But I said, we will. My ambition was always, if it was a success, I'd like a farm in Wales, Scotland, Ireland and England. So now we've got England and we've got Scotland. The idea of Scotland is to, yes, have livestock like we've got here, more of, but also I want to open what we call a skill centre, and it's teaching skills like barrel making for the whisky industry, saddlery, hedge laying, dry stone walling, all those skills and arts that are dying in the farming industry that need to be saved. We need to be broader thinking around who is working in farming or in agriculture. And you know, the days of father, son, father, daughter are long gone. We need new blood. You know, the farming needs to diversify. If we're going to produce the sort of food that the world needs in the next 20, 30 years, we need to have different ideas, different practices, and in order to make those all those work, we need different people. And so we have to open our arms, open our doors, and welcome people from outside of agriculture and offer them something they can't refuse. It's a fantastic life. It's not a job, it's a life. It's a fantastic life that is tough, it's hard, but it's damn rewarding.
Mike Duxbury, maybe the only blind farmer in Britain, with a tale of what can be done against the odds. And what does Mike do to switch off? Well, this.
So I'm in a very successful country rock band called Boss and the Hogs. And it's of course based on what was the Dukes of Hazzard, which was obviously a programme of years back. And I'm very much the boss hog. Of course, being a pig farmer as well, sort of fits very well with that mantra. And we go all over the place. And Ness takes me everywhere with my drum kit and helps me set my drum kit up. And we play and we have lots and lots of fun. And it's just my way of just getting away from day to day, letting the hair down a bit, having a lot of fun and giving a lot of fun to other people.
Mike Duxbury and his band. So, Adam, that really is quite an inspiration. I was particularly taken with Mike's story of 500 failed job applications.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, disability is a, you know, very difficult thing to cope with. Personally, I imagine it's something I've never experienced, but when you're in that place yourself and you have some disabilities, whatever they are, and you're trying to get yourself out into the workplace and you keep getting rejected, that must be so tough. Because he's proven now he's an incredibly capable person who can manage remarkably well.
But do you think there is a touch of discrimination against disability in farming?
I think so. You know, as much as it hurts me to say, I suspect there is. And because we want people who are fully capable and fit and able to work in what is quite a demanding environment. And if you employ someone who has a disability, it's likely that they may have to take a little bit longer. They may have to have things altered to suit the way they work. And that takes time and can take money.
I guess the message from Mike is, don't give up.
Incredibly resilient, isn't he? A remarkable man. What an inspiration. And yes, don't give up. Keep going. And eventually you might find an open door, which he did, thankfully, and is now, you know, an ambassador, really. And in the media, we filmed with him on Country File. He's come onto this podcast and he speaks very well about it.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. That's all for now.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Keeping on Track. I hope you found things in it that were helpful for you or someone you know. If you've been affected by anything you've heard today or in any other programme, you can find more information about organisations which can provide help and support by going to teamdoctor.org/farmers. Until the next time, keep on track. Our thanks go to Hartbury University and College, Harper Adams University, NFU Mutual, Thring Solicitors, DataTag, and Nugent Engineering for supporting Series 2 of Keeping on Track.